Good evening and welcome to At the Table. I would like first to say thank you to Nathan Vaporboy Edwards, who is not only my guest tonight, but is also coming to my rescue and streaming this show live through the Vapor Lounge, the Vapors Lounge, fm.co.uk, radio, live, 3-3. Thank you. Nathan, and welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. It's always a great pleasure.
Yes, backstage theatrics are always fun, aren't they?
Wow.
Just for our American audiences, because everybody listening to you now knows who you are, just give us a little background rundown, rap sheet about who you are, what got you involved in the vaping community and activism and that.
Okay, so obviously my name's Nathan Edwards. I'm 26 years of age, and I'm just pouring myself some water. I'm 26 years of age, and I've been smoking since the age of 15 years of age, and I decided at 2009 that I wanted to try and quit smoking. Tried all forms of quitting products, NRT, nicotine replacement therapy, from my local doctors. Tried all sorts of things such as gums, sprays, you name it, I probably had it, and none of which worked. I had quite bad reactions to all of them. So I then looked into alternative methods, and when I was out one night, there was a DJ that was using an electronic cigarette. And at that time, I had no forms, no clue at all what an e-cig, or personal vaporizer, whatever you wish to call them, was, looked like, you know. And the first thing I'd done was like, what's that? Where did you get it from? And can I have a go? And the minute I had my first puff on an e-cigarette was the best thing that ever happened to me. I immediately took to the product and was like, this is actually going to work. So we got talking and things like that. And since October 2009, I haven't touched a tobacco cigarette since.
That's amazing. But I've also talked with some vapers, people who vape, and they've also said it's helped them cut down on the nicotine use, and some said it's even helped them quit, nicotine altogether.
Yeah, now, in the UK, although, for instance, I can turn around and say I personally know people who have quit using an electronic cigarette, it can't be sold as a replacement nicotine device. And it can't be sold as a nicotine replacement therapy because it doesn't hold, quote, the medical authorization, the MA.
Right, same here.
Yeah, so I don't like it being called, I quit using an e-cigarette because it's given the wrong perspective on what an e-cigarette is because, with the governments worldwide at the moment, they are trying to ban the use of e-cigarettes, whether or not that be indoors, right. Enclosed public places, and heavily restrict the nicotine liquid, the e-liquid that goes into them.
Because they're now talking about secondhand vapor and secondhand nicotines, and here in the U.S., several states are passing excise tax laws that seek to tax e-juices at or above what they tax cigarettes.
Yeah. Now,
I mean, right now, you can buy an e-cigarette that costs the same as a pack of cigarettes.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing that
so
really
they're already paying an excise on it.
Yeah, the thing that really boils my blood with that is, I mean, I'm quite an avid vapor now. I mean, I've got a collection of over 30 different types of cigarettes, electronic cigarettes here. Admittedly, they all do the same job. Some look nicer than others. And some I can personalize better to work. I mean, the one that I currently got in my hand now, for instance, is just a bog standard mechanical mod, is what we call it. It's a silver tube with a battery, no electronic or circuitry inside. So what I'm getting is direct hit off the battery around the heating element, the coil, and obviously that then in turn mixes with the liquid and produces the vapor. But I've also got others here that are all fangle-dangle and, you know, has got a motherboard and a computer inside it, and you can vary the voltage and vary the wattage. And admittedly, you know, it is a sort of fashion piece, if you want. But I feel that in forms of electronic cigarettes, the various types of cigarettes that are out there is going to suit somebody. The setup that I have here now is not going to suit my dad, for instance, or my partner. It's completely personalizable.
I've noticed a lot of those, you know, the modifications and the different types of devices. And I think the biggest issue and the reason why there is so much resistance to these devices is because they are being called cigarettes.
Yeah.
I think that is the biggest problem.
I can see where you're coming from.
If they had been named differently, I don't believe there would have been an issue.
Yeah, but then again, you know, you've got your picture and word association.
Yeah.
You know, you call it sugar because it's a sweet product. You call it sweetener because it looks like sugar and it does the same job.
Right. You know, to call it a vaporizer, that confuses people with the medical device.
Yeah, but effectively, a vaporizer is what it is doing. It's describing the product.
That's right, but if you just call it, but I'm saying, when I first heard about vaporizing, I was thinking that they were like, you know, the medical diffusers that vapor, that put steam into the air with, you know, in dry environments and all sorts of, you know, medications into the air before I did my own research into it.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. There's two sets of confusion of names that, especially the vaporizer, that while it is accurate, is still confusing for most people. As I was saying, there was, you know, I don't know about, I know that in the EU that they're talking about a ban on it. Are the member nations of the EU, to your knowledge, doing anything, you know, like they're doing here in Minnesota, Michigan, where they are taxing it, it as a tobacco product because of the nicotine in it?
Yeah, but
and that's basically what it's about.
It's exactly the same effectively of what it boils down to in the UK. We had obviously in the UK, we're governed by sort of legislation that's passed in Whitehall, but we're also governed as well as being part of the European Union. So we're governed by things that happen within Europe. So Europe can introduce laws that comes into the UK. Now, they currently introduced electronic cigarettes into the TPD, the Tobacco Products Directive. And in that, they've turned around. And the person that wrote that is a lovely lady called Linda McCavan. If you're listening, you know, thanks for including it, because it's completely not only messed my life up as a 2016, it's messed the hundreds of thousands of people's lives that hasn't actually discovered vaping yet, that's going to actually die of tobacco-related illnesses.
That's a major argument here, too, is that it's going to force people back to the carcinogenic form of tobacco. And it's not the nicotine that gives you cancer. It's all the shit that you inhale along with it.
Yeah.
It's not the secondhand smoke, you know, it's not the vapor that is going to make you standing, that's going to give me an asthma attack, but your cigarette smoke will.
And yeah, this you referred earlier on to, you know, the secondhand vaping, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
That's a subject that really does boil my blood. I mean, we've had in the UK, well, in Europe, some studies done, and we already know this anyway. The reason why people die of secondhand smoke is because secondhand smoke contains carbon monoxide, tars, and carcinogenics.
Right.
In vaping, the only thing that you emit back out of your system is steam, water, vapor. You don't emit nicotine because the nicotine, when you inhale it, is immediately absorbed between your throat and the receptors within your mouth. And there has been 20 to 30 studies done on the vapor production and the vapor emitted, and every one of those studies that have been, you know, undertaken by really good doctors that we've paid nothing for has come back and said vapor is absolutely safe. And the ingredients that are used are in the same, like you referred to asthma. Well, we call it asthma, you call it asthma. But in forms of asthma, we use two of the same ingredients as an asthma inhaler. Yet they're saying that the ingredients in the way it's being used here is harmful. It's the same ingredient.
Right. And
it carries the same medical authorization number.
And I'm looking at an article. I linked you to the article from the Baltimore Sun, and if you would like to, you know, you could link it in the chat room for your for everybody to take a look at and see how.
Yeah, if you send me the link, I'll put it in our chat room for you.
It should be there. It's the Baltimore Sun link. And,
oh, yeah, you sent it to me, didn't you?
Yeah. And one of the people pushing for the regulation said, while we applaud the FDA's proposal to start regulating these tobacco products, and that is the operative word, they're calling it a tobacco product, even though there is no tobacco in it.
Well, this is, I need to stop you here. This is one argument that I have constantly had. Although, you know, and I may upset a few people when I say this, but although it's not considered a tobacco product, ultimately it is a tobacco product because the nicotine that we use in electronic cigarettes come from a tobacco leaf. But then that's highly processed, concentrated at pharmaceutical level and considered to be safe. So it's the same nicotine that we use in here, in the nicotine that are used in medical devices such as your nicotine spray and your nicotine replacement therapies that you can get from your local healthcare or your pharmacist or your pharmacy, etc. Similar type of nicotine, in fact, the same type of nicotine that holds a medical authorization number.
Right, but that is exactly why there is these pushes, because I would bet you anything that in one of the briefs that were filed by the pharmaceutical companies is that they're saying that these are de facto medical devices because of that.
Is it fair to say that they're trying to do all they can do because they're losing out on money from the cancer drugs that they created?
It's all about that, yeah.
You know, effectively, what's happening.
This is not the tobacco company saying this. This would be the pharmaceutical firms that make the nicotine patches.
Yeah, but
the nicotine bomb.
Yeah, but okay, we're talking about tobacco and pharmaceutical. Is it not a fair assumption to say then that tobacco companies are, you know, paying pharmaceutical companies and saying, okay, we're going to introduce a new line of cigarette. Make me something that's going to kill 500,000 people a year. I will inject it into the tobacco leaf. You make something up and sell it to pharmacies.
That's already happened. They don't need to make tobacco any more potent than it is, because they can also, in another article I sent you, tobacco companies in the U.S. target minority communities with their mentholated cigarettes.
Exactly.
Because so, you're not aware of the heat of the smoke or the harshness of the smoke, because the menthol cools it.
Hmm. So to me, I think the drive behind trying to ban such a product is being driven by pharmaceutical companies, because they're losing money out on their cancer drugs that they created for an illness that they created in the first place.
Well, as somebody who has cancer that was not caused by cigarette smoking, I will take issue with that.
Well, you know.
Okay. My feeling is that it has more to do with the smoking abatement medications that are only available by prescription, and that is the pharmaceutical companies are opposing it. Cigarette, you know, it's you know, but it also has to do with the tobacco companies get, you know, saying that these products cut into our profits, because you can spend $7, $8 here for one electronic cigarette that has the same amount of nicotine as a carton. And You know, so in that, I can see there might be an issue with somebody who just like sucks that thing all day and goes through that carton in a day or 2 days. Because there are people that will go through a carton of cigarettes in a day because they are such heavy smokers. But so on that account, I can see maybe an issue. The ones that are loaded with a carton's worth of nicotine, I can see that would be an issue. But I don't see an issue with the liquid since they come in varying dilutions.
Exactly.
Now, nicotine
what,
down to zero.
And what I need,
I have a zero nicotine vaporizer.
Yeah, but what I need to point out to you is studies that have been done in the UK, which can be used in US if needs to. The studies that have been done, the amount of nicotine, for instance, I use a 36 milligram liquid in my, not as a daily vape, but I can go up to 75 milligram if I want to use that. And I can go way above that because the legal limit in the UK currently at the moment is 75 milligrams. Although it's sold at 72, they allow room for error by pharmaceutical companies when mixing it down. Accidents do happen in big batches. Shall we say no more on that? But what I'm trying to say to you is, we've had studies done on tobacco cigarettes compared to vaping, and the amount of nicotine that a tobacco cigarette emits is a hell of a lot less than what a personal vaporizer, an e-cigarette, actually produces. And we have studies and proof to back that claim up.
But it's getting those studies here into the hands of the people who need to see it. The FDA needs to see those studies.
Yeah.
The Center for Disease Control needs to see those studies. And that is what is at issue here, is the studies. These are just, you know, they're going to wait until, you know, enough people like start climbing on their high horses about it.
Yeah.
And yelling about the studies so they can then appropriate money to their favorites. Universities for these studies.
Yeah, no, somebody has brought a comment up in the chat over on the Vapors Lounge. The world is mad. If cigarettes were invented today, there would be outright madness and autry, yet people are fighting to save them.
Yeah, it's the same thing with sugar. Sugar was coming to market today, it never would get there because of its properties.
Exactly.
And when you get down to these sort of hysterical, fear-mongering ways of seeing things. Oh my God, people they're not, you know. I mean, you can't even put up a vapor cigarette in restaurants. Again, I have no issue with that because I prefer to eat. I don't think you need to have something in your hand while you're eating food. It just doesn't work for me.
Yeah. Now,
University of Arizona, I believe, or one university campus, actually has banned vaping on campus along with their smoking ban and their chewing tobacco ban, which here is called snuff.
Now, on the basis that, you know, we've been talking here for about, you know, before the actual show went live and how long we've been live, we've been talking for an hour. If we base on the World Health Organization's figures, the amount of people that have died from using tobacco cigarettes to using electronic cigarettes, the ones that are using tobacco cigarettes is going to far outlaw the ones using e-cigarettes, because I'm not aware of anybody in the world who has actually died. In fact, they want to try and push one person on us. They want to try and push one death for using an e-cigarette.
Right, I think I read about that.
But that's, you know, they want to say that she died because of lymph node pneumonia. What a load of crock of crap that was. I'm sorry if I offend any of your listeners.
Oh, no, we don't have to worry about the FCC.
But what I'm trying to state is, you want to try and push one death on it and it's really, really bad because of that one death. I'm sorry, but I want to say bollocks. You know,
you just did.
The amount of people that have died in the last hour from tobacco-related illnesses and diseases has been probably based on the World Health Organization's figures, is, you know, upwards in the world, upwards of probably 2,000-3,000 in 1 hour.
Yeah.
You know, and yet you're trying to say that vaping's bad because of one death?
Well, from death, also because of those glycols that you use that are really super safe in your asthma medications, but not so much in your liquids.
Yeah, you know, and another one that really, really, I find quite funny. You go to a theater, or you go to a nightclub, or you go to, you know, a disco somewhere, or a ball, and they've all got these smoke machines, you know, for adding effects to lighting. Those smoke machines use water, propylene glycol, and vegetable glycerine, the three main ingredients that are used in an e-cigarette. And yet, when about 10 years ago, they'd done a study on smoke machines using those three products, the same three products that we use, it was found to be safe for inhalation. And yet you add a little bit of nicotine, which again is proven to be safe in forms of inhalation. You add them all together, which they've already done anyway, and it's bad.
Of course it is, because smoking is considered a bad habit, a nasty habit. And God forbid you should have any character, be it a movie, a TV show, who's the good guy smoking. Smoking is not only done by bad guys, or if it's done absent-mindedly, there's people get all upset because it's a bad habit. It's the same reason why, you know, it's a taboo, it's evil, it's ugly, it's nasty, and frankly, yeah. I find tobacco smoking itself to be a nasty habit.
Yeah, I see where you're going.
But that's how they're pushing this, is that it's the stick itself. Little kids see these sticks and they think, you know. Cool. I mean, I remember growing up, I don't know that having, as a kid, you could get candy cigarettes and bubblegum cigars. Yeah. And they were, you know, you could chew off the bubblegum on the cigar because it was like too big to chew on one thing. But I never had the urge to smoke. If I'm looking at something that you eat, you know, I was really surprised that there weren't, you know, lots of reports of kids getting sick from eating cigarettes.
Yeah.
So we're not that stupid.
I've got a sound clip here, which I'm going to play for you. In fact, I'm going to play two, if that's okay, Kelly. And I want your views on them.
All right.
Okay, I'm going to play them now.
It's Sunday, and you're feeling like a slug. Chain to your remote control like a giant couch potato. Keep watching and you'll see what a stroke feels like, or better yet, a heart attack.
You can smoke, or you can dip, put that cancer in your lip, it's to die for.
Both of which were adverts run on American TV.
Right, yeah. I think they're great.
Yeah.
I vaguely remember them.
The smoking stick one was actually one that sold a packet of Camel cigarettes.
Yeah.
It's telling you it's bad, yet it's advertising a product.
Yep.
Seriously. But, yeah, in forms of, you know, EU legislation, Linda McCavan, the rapporteur who writ the report, the Tobacco Products Directive, couldn't organise a piss up in a brewery, to be fair. And the ultimate thing that she's done is she included electronic cigarettes in the Tobacco Products Directive. Okay, fine. I'm a vapor. I am all for legislation in regulating them, but not as heavy as they're wanting, because I don't want to see a 13-year-old child being able to buy one. I think you should be the same age to buy one as using tobacco products. I don't agree with the way in which they've gone about it, for the simple reason being, they have turned around and said, and I quote this in the product, you know, the TPD, they want to limit it to 20 milligrams per milliliter and a maximum of 2 milliliters per cartomizer or tank. Meaning that in a tank, you're only going to get 40 milligrams total intake from that entire device. That is not going to work. But on the back hand of that, For vapor to be produced, you have to allow a certain amount of airflow in. Now, if air can get in, internal product can get out if left standing for a long period of time. Do you agree? They also put in that it has to be a leak-free device. Now, if that's not an outright ban, I don't know what is.
It's virtually impossible unless you're going very, very high-end to make something that is totally...
But that's leak-free. The thing, you're not going to be able to. If air can get in... The said product can get out. And you need to have... Okay, the basics of an e-cigarette then. You've got your battery. You've then got your top part, which is a cartomizer. Inside of that cartomizer or tank, whatever you want to call it, you've got a central tube. At the bottom of that central tube, you will have a kettle, you know, effectively, a heating element. A coil. And in that coil will be one of three things. You'll have cotton, silica, or something that we call eco-wool, which is a fancy glorified version of a mix of the two. Now, for vapor to be produced, air has to go over that coil. That product has already been pre-wicked or pre-wetted, whichever way you want to look at it, with the juice contained outside of that central tube, which is, you know, considered your tank. Now, if air can get in, the liquid can get out.
Right.
So it is an outright ban.
Right. And in that regard, you couldn't even, ban virtually anything, because anything that air can get in.
There is nothing currently on the market that complies with the current with the legislation that's going to be coming into force in 2016.
And odds are the FDA. Like I said, the FDA is planning on beginning to implement next year.
Yeah, and effectively, from what I have read, it is the same, but with more added.
Yeah, it's an ALEC, which is the American Legislative Exchange, something or other, that is populated by major corporations, and they draft legislation that then gets introduced into state legislatures and our federal government. And the way you can tell that is that they all have the same wording, and you were telling me that the same wording appeared in EU documentation about this.
Yeah, but it's not just, the leak-free and all of that. They've turned around and have gone... basically, the device that I'm using now is going to be completely obsolete, because they don't want anything that's rebuildable. They want it to be a sealed unit.
It would be actually disposable, I think.
Yeah, they want it to be a disposable unit. Okay, fine. But in forms of the European Union, she's... in forms of the European Union, Linda McCavan has completely backtracked on their waste disposal policy in trying to be a greener European Union and limiting waste that's being sent to trash or rubbish, as we call it here in the UK. So, you make a device that is disposable, that you don't have to throw away, so it complies with your current legislation that's been brought in, similar to what I'm using here then, but of course I can't use that because you already banned it. That I don't throw away once it's empty. I can't recharge it. This that it's in my hand now, I need to just completely throw away, because I can rebuild it straight away and I can recharge it. That doesn't leak. This does leak, but only on the rare occasion, so that's going to have to be thrown away. I've had what they call the VIPE. and they have gone for a medical authorization, which consequently, it's the wrong word, and I can't think of the word that I want to use. Sorry?
Coincidentally.
That's the word, coincidentally. Coincidentally, the VIPE has been awarded a medical authorization number, and let's have a think who created it. If memory serves me correct, it was either Philip Jones or British and American Tobacco. And it contains more than propylene glycol, vegetable glycerine, nicotine, and a flavourant.
Yeah.
It contains hydrochloric acid, from one GCMS test that I read. This particular device, that was a VIPE device, had more ingredients than you would like to think in it. And I wonder why. Because British and American Tobacco, or rather than opposed to name companies, I take that comment back. But Big Pharma and Big Tobacco play a hand in hand with each other.
But I was saying that it's going on here as well. And it's, you know.
Yeah, and again, a question that's come in from our chat room. How can you regulate a mechanical mod? It's beyond me. A mechanical mod is basically a torch with a connector on the end. It is a battery with a positive and a negative terminal with a button. It's a torch, a flashlight, whatever you want to call it. It's because of what we have put on the end that makes it an e-cigarette.
It's an insane thing. It's nanny state-ish, and we in New York City know all about nanny state, like Mayor Bloomberg.
Oh, we're finding that out slow. Well, not me personally, because I've already opened my eyes to this. But nanny stating in Wales has already begun because the Welsh Assembly, you know, I would just like to just go in there and give this same talk and get answers, because they wouldn't be able to answer me. They would just be completely dead and would not be able to answer me. They have decided that they want to try and ban vaping in enclosed public places. Okay, I'm all for that, because it is still, quote, and I say this and I will take the frack for it, a smoking device. It is still considered as a smoking device. It contains nicotine, it produces an inhalable nicotine, and it produces an exhale. So I consider it still to be a smoking device, so it should still cover the smoking bans as being set in, so you can't, you know, smoke in enclosed public places. But they've also tried and decided now, because vaping's really this bad with products that have already hold, you know, the safe certificate, if you want, they want to try and ban it in your own cars.
Because of the children.
Yeah, because of the children.
It's all about, this whole thing is all about protecting the children,
you know,
who are too stupid.
Yes, we have to protect our children. But I have two children myself. I think I'm, you know, good enough at protecting my own children
right,
from things I consider to be dangerous.
You understand that now, at least here in some places, you can get your kids taken away if you smoke around them. It's considered abuse.
Yeah, but I quit smoking because, you know, ultimately, I wanted to quit smoking because it was bad for me. Then my partner fell pregnant, and that was even more reason to quit smoking.
Yeah.
You know, I was on the verge of completely quitting and giving up smoking, but I had kids, I was stressed, and the first thing I'd done was went back to a tobacco cigarette. Now, going back to a tobacco cigarette from vaping, I tried it. You know, I did. My parents are what we call a dual user. They use an electronic cigarette and they also use tobacco cigarettes. And I tried, I think it was last year, a traditional thing here in the UK within some families. You know, they'll sit down after their, you know, sort of Christmas meal or season greetings meal, whatever you call it in the States. And I sat down with my dad and a couple of other family members and we'd have a cigar. I took one puff on a cigar and I was violently ill. violently ill. Now, I can't even be in the house with my mum and dad when they are smoking a tobacco cigarette because the smell completely turns my stomach. Yet I thought, you know, 6-7 years ago, that was absolutely fine to do so, and it was cool because my friends were doing it.
Yes. Personally, I still think whenever I see people vaping that it doesn't look all that cool. You know, but that's, you know, for some reason, it doesn't look cool, but it's still nice. It's like a security blanket, if you will.
Yeah. This whole point of talking about the legislation and things of this interview that you wanted to do was... You know, not for me to have a rant, which I've already had. I apologize for that.
You know, I guess you are far more knowledgeable about it than I am. So
you know,
that is why
but
I have to let you...
The FDA have taken the stamp that it's really, you know, bad for you. And ultimately, it's going to kill you. What a crock of shit. The FDA turned around and said... that smoking was going to kill you. Yes, it will kill you. Have they banned using tobacco cigarettes? No, because the governments make too much goddamn money off it.
Because of the taxes on tobacco, yeah.
So you've brought in a device that's going to ultimately, and I say this from myself, not from any trade point of view, or this is a personal opinion, we have brought in a far greater and safer device that's going to kill a hell of a lot of people in the long run, if there is going to be anybody to die from it. To the best of my knowledge, there hasn't been.
Right.
And yet it's bad for you and it's going to kill you and we need to regulate it out of existence now. Do it with fucking sugar. Do it with stevia. You banned aspartame in the States, didn't you?
Right. Okay. I'm back on the Daily Caller article. I also sent you that link.
I'm not sure.
The thing is that besides the push for the children, which is always the easiest way to get something done here, I think unless it's about saving kids from being shot with guns, there is the other issue too that yes, the big tobacco companies are in on it, but they're also buying. Processes. I mean, Lorillard sold something to eBlue so they could have the menthol cigarettes, so they could keep the Newports. They sold Blue the e-cigarette line.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm also thinking that while the regulation is stupid, because tobacco has their hand in it now to a great extent, and they're adulterating their product. They're adulterating their products.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not just the glycol flavoring and the nicotine. If they're putting back the shit that got you sick in the first place.
Okay. If they did turn around, you know, and ultimately ban the products in the UK in 2016, it won't make me go and buy a packet of cigarettes. It won't. Because anybody with a little bit of knowledge of the product will know that A, you can buy the nicotine, and dare I say it, from China in a concentrated form. You can buy your vegetable glycerin as it is used in bacon from your local grocery store. You can buy propylene glycol from a chemist over the counter and even at some bacon stores. And your flavourings, you can get all sorts of flavourings. I've got a liquid here called Choddy, which is a bubblegum. I've got flavours here, which is Trifle Tower, which again is a trifle. I've got things Tutti Frutti. If you can see the trend here, I use quite a lot of sweet liquids.
Right.
None of which are tobacco liquids. But I can buy all of the flavourings that I want to use over the counter at my local store. And make my own liquids. And in fact, I can make my own devices.
Yeah.
But I'm not looking after number one. I don't care about you know, if they want to regulate all this into, because it's not going to stop me. It's not going to stop the person sat next to me with any.
And it's also what it's going to do is create a black market.
Exactly. And the black market is what is going to kill people. Because they won't know what they're buying, especially when it comes to nicotine from China. As there has been studies done, and I personally done one myself. And I bought some nicotine from China. I got it imported and I got it tested. And what was supposed to have been 75 milligrams actually turned out to be 150. Now you put that and mix that up to yourself, and you think you're vaping 18. You wouldn't be. You'd actually be vaping somewhere in the region of about 52 milligrams. Which is not going to kill you.
It'll make you really sick.
It wouldn't make you really sick in forms of, you know, being sick. What it would do, it would make you quite extremely lightheaded. You know, if you've ever been a smoker and you've gone without a cigarette for a while and you have, you know, them couple of drags first off your tobacco cigarette and you get that head rush, it would give you that for a very long time and give you quite a considerable headache, I would think, or migraine. But what would happen is I know people personally myself that have gone and vaped up to 500 milligrams for 3.5 hours, got up, walked to the post office and fell flat on his ass. He's still alive today. Didn't kill him, and that's 500 milligrams. And he vaped over 60 milliliters of 500 milligram, and he's still alive. Yet, they are saying that they'll limit it to 20 milligrams because that's enough. Bollocks. I complete and utter crap because, A, the studies that were done back in the 60s on nicotine science and its, you know, properties were done in labs with rats. Rats cannot vomit. If a human consumes too much of a said product, we can vomit. We have the regurgitation effect. So we will stop using a said product, whether or not that be toilet cleaner, nicotine, washing up liquid, or friggin' well goddamn alcohol. We will be sick. Did you catch...
There's a reason why they call it, why they say we've poisoned ourselves, But I understand what you're saying is that at this point in time, there is no way... What would... I'm not phrasing my questions or participating in this poll, but the fear is, again, it's the children, kids getting a hold of these, you know, and inhale vaping for several hours and then getting that sick.
Oh, God damn, you want to worry?
Even, you know, and yes, yeah, so I'm kind of playing the devil's advocate here because... You know, it's always about the children.
Okay,
anything negative you
fine.
Read is all about children, protecting children. But they say nothing about adults being able to make their own decisions and parents having control. There is a vape store here that the police would love to shut down. Mm-hmm. And they will, and they treat the store, the place, just like any place that sells tobacco. They will send in people under 18 to see if they can buy. And everybody who comes in, if you don't look old enough, they will card you.
Mm-hmm.
As they are required. Here, they also want to add the same tobacco warnings on the products.
Yeah, now, in forms of warnings, currently in the UK, we've got several warnings on our bottles. We've got a toxic skull and crossbones. We've got the under 18 warning. We've also got a toxic to environment warning. Now, reports and studies that have been now accepted by the European Parliament means that e-liquid bottles in the EU do not have to carry those warnings. It only has to carry if it contains nicotine and 18 under 18 warning. They've turned around and want to ban a product, which is going to kill you. Yet they've also turned around and said, but it's okay because you don't have to include any warnings on it anymore because it's safe if it's below a certain milligram, which was under 36. So they're considering 36 milligrams safe, yet in the Tobacco Products Directive, they're saying anything over 20 milligrams is not going to be safe and you can't sell it.
Yeah.
If you're confused, so am I.
I'm very confused. It's very nitpicky. And right now, with following this story, this legislation push, I'm, you know, not seeing anything. Apparently, the FDA has been pouring several hundred million dollars into studies, because that's always how you get things done here. Excuse me. And yet, there is the legislative aspect of it. I mean, there has been like nothing until now that I have ever read about this issue. And like the vape, like with the propylene, and again, we're going back to the mixture, the chemistry of it. There are videos on YouTube that show you how to make it. It's not going away, and you're right. And
As you said, you know, government studies. Is it not fair to say that if a government is paying for a study, they will get the result and the outcome that they're paying for?
It depends on the study. I think the Food and Drug Administration, which is supposedly independent of, you know, supposed to be free from influence, they're going to have a tough time with this, because if they say that the glycols are unsafe, they're going to have to say, well, they're not safe in, you know, for people with asthma. Everything that the liquids you all buy here are kosher, so they're pure. Flavorings are kosher, so, you know, there's nothing, you know. I'm just very, very confused by this nonsense. And that's what it is. It is
complete and utter nonsense. And ultimately, the top and bottom of it is, even if they do succeed in, you know, banning a said product, it's going to open up a very, very black market, and then they will start seeing deaths.
Right, it's the same thing. The best analogy I can come up with on this is when Timothy Leary testified in front of the Senate regarding LSD, he begged them to keep it legal, because then it could be, and regulated, because then the quality of it could be, and the access could be controlled. And he explained what would happen if it was outlawed. And everything, your quality could not be assured, you know, all the same issues with not being able to trust the labeling on Chinese nicotine. It was the same thing. You'd have no idea of exactly how much you were ingesting.
Mm.
You didn't know if it was a pure product and that. And they went ahead and shut down, you know, made it illegal, even shut down medical research on it. And the next thing you know, you have lots of bad acid. You have the Diane Linkletter, who threw herself out of a window allegedly on a bad trip. And all these people, you know, being severely harmed by bad acid. It's the same thing with the people who get, you know, poisoned, you know, from the ecstasy or whatever they're taking at raves and stuff, because they don't know the quality of it or the strength of it.
Yeah. But, you know, if I go into a shop in the UK and I say I want a 36 milligram liquid or a 24 milligram liquid, I will get what I'm paying for.
Right.
Currently in the UK, we are already covered by 17 laws that are already in existence, from consumer protection to poisons licensing to, you know, chip compliance. I've got a bottle of, just this bottle by here of liquid, for instance. This is from the Lancashire Steam Company. And it's got its full ingredients, which is one of the laws. So it's got propylene glycol and vegetable glycerine in a 30%, 70% ratio, deionized water, nicotine. Nicotine is not included in a 0 milligram liquid. natural and artificial flavorings. That contains, you know, that's one of 17 laws that's currently included. It's then got, this product contains nicotine, which is an addictive and known to cause birth defects and other reproductive harm, only to be sold to persons under, only to be sold or used by persons over the age of 18. That's another law. We've also got another law for when the batch was made, and the manufacturer has to keep a sample of that batch for 6 years, just in case there is any issues with said thing. The label also has to be readable by the naked eye, and if you wear glasses, then obviously with glasses. It needs to contain a chip compliant sticker, which this bottle does have, and then it needs to contain information such as this, which it doesn't have to include now, but the suppliers still put it on there because of the nicotine that's in it. Toxic if swallowed. Very toxic in contact with the skin. Very toxic to organic organisms. Keep locked up and out of the reach of children. So, in case of accident or you feel unwell, stop using the product and seek medical advice immediately. Product is by Lancashire Steam Company, Unit 4, blah, 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 blah. So it's got the manufacturer's information on there as well, which is a mandatory requirement. That bottle complies to all the current legislation in the UK.
Okay. I do have another question. How is VapeFest?
VapeFest. VapeFest is where all types of vapors get together from all over Europe or all over the world, because we had people there from America this year as well. And we all get together and we all have a great laugh. VapeFest, the only way you can put VapeFest is a vaping market, a very big vaping market where lots and lots of companies come together, fight it out between themselves to get the most business. You know, the same as any other type of supermarket and grocery store. But it's the buzz that you get when you're there. You're meeting people you have never met before, using things that you have never seen before, and you're like, what's that? Give us a go, you know. And you haven't got to explain to everybody that's there, or to get it work, you need to press this button. Because we know that all the devices effectively do the same thing. They all contain a battery, and they all contain a bloody button that you press to make the vapor, you know. But VapeFest is just absolutely great. If you ever get a chance to go to one, I would recommend you go. Because even after 2016, VapeFest will be going underground if they decide to ban it.
Great, I hope it continues. It's always nice to go and meet people that have that share a common interest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know that when I've gone to conventions and they're like, I haven't seen you here. God, it's so good to see you, because you do make a connection, you do make friends.
Yeah.
And I think that's the other thing, is that the community is such a large community.
Oh, Jesus, when I was at VapeFest, I met people that know of me because of, obviously, the radio station that I run, because I run a radio station that's basically aimed at vapers all over the world. And I met people that I didn't even know their name. And you're like, you're that nutty one that runs the radio station. I was like, yeah. And the buzz that you get when you're at these places, especially if you're in, you know, or you do reviews of products and things, people will just approach you from anywhere like you're some form of celebrity and, you know, just ask for selfies. I even got asked for a selfie with somebody at VapeFest.
Oh, that's great.
You know, I'm like, dude, I'm the same as you. You know, I'm a normal person that's a vapor, yet, you know.
But you're on the radio.
But, yeah, I'm on the radio. You know, I'm a voice, and they put a face to the voice, you know. But it's just like the buzz that you get there is the same as when you go to a concert or go to a festival. You get that entire buzz that, you know, you're there with like-minded people that like said music. Or, you know, it's, as I said, it's that entire buzz.
I am speechless.
Again, with the current products directive that's been opposed, They have included legislation to outlaw Vape Fest because of a gathering of vapers talking about like-minded products. It's going to be illegal. So we're just going to barge and go to international waters and balls to them.
Well, you know, they have to wreck our fun in some way.
Hmm.
And also, if you have the for-profit prison system, you have to have, you know, a complete, you know, a continuing, you know, source of clientele, because the prisons contract for X number of prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
And if their jails aren't filled, you still have to pay them.
Yeah.
So it's kind of sad right now.
Mm-hmm. To be fair, I think what should happen with the Products Directive, we've got something in the UK, in Europe running at the moment, which is a citizens initiative called the EFVI. Now, EFVI is, as I said, it's a citizens initiative using loopholes within the European Parliament. That means if we get 1 million signatures right the way throughout Europe, and you have to be a European citizen to sign it, you can effectively put the TPD back in front of the Commission's committee, say it's wrong, show them your proof that it's wrong, and they will have to reconsider. It's not a petition that, you know, you've got a chance. This is a guaranteed initiative that will get an outcome. And that's currently...
I love the initiative process.
Yeah, it's currently running, and it ends in November, and we need to get as many European signatures on there as we possibly can, because I, as I said, once this ban goes through, if it does go through, it's not going to affect me. I'm worried about the thousands of people that are still using tobacco cigarettes behind me that's not going to be given the choice, or rather be given the choice to quit smoking with stuff that does not work.
Right. I mean, I have, of all my friends that have quit smoking, I've yet to hear any of them saying that the... Actually, I have a friend that went from the nicotine patches to vaping because they weren't working.
Hmm. It says it all, really, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. And he's a, you know, so it's... I don't know.
It says it all.
It does. It also says it's all is that it's nearly time for you... to go to bed.
Oh no, I'm up now. I won't be going to bed anytime soon.
But I do want to thank you for joining me tonight, and thank you for hosting this chat.
It's always...
And if people want to find more information about you and what's going on in the EU regarding vaping, or they want to listen to your station, you know, let's have some, you know, promo. Put in some links.
Yeah. Well,
where can they listen to you?
Okay, places that they'll be able to listen to. They'll be able to listen through your thing, so if you want to plug yourself first, because I'll get a copy of this over to you shortly.
This is Kelly Lincoln for At the Table, only on netrootsradio.com.
Okay, you'll be able to listen to this there. You'll also be able to listen to this on YouTube. Just search for The Vapors Lounge, and you'll find the interview there. And also on SoundCloud, the interview will be uploaded to as well.
And thank you very much, Nathan.
No problem at all.
You were a great guest.
Well, I do try.